This is like therapy couch.
Yeah, it is like therapy couch.
For now, I'm not gonna lie, I need the money, man. I need the money.
Of course you were grieving, like I knew you were grieving.
Yeah.
You knew you were grieving, but it sounds like you had to pretend that you weren't. Hello and welcome to Colour Coded, the podcast where we talk about life, cultures and relationships. In today's episode, we are going to be asking each other very deep questions.
We've been scouring the internet and looking for some questions to ask each other that we've not really asked before.
We've never asked each other these questions.
We've never really asked before. We might have discussed it, but we've never really discussed it.
Discussed it or yeah. Asked each other openly.
Openly, yeah.
So I've got three questions and you've got three questions.
And we just batter back and forth and see...
See what the answers are.
See what we get.
See if we can get some surprises in here. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to start first?
I'll start. And also, if you guys have any questions, you can send us a DM or write them in the comment if you're watching on YouTube. Yeah, so let's go into it.
Go on, hit me, go on.
Okay. Is there anything you consider a deal breaker in a relationship?
A deal breaker? Yeah.
Go on.
Someone that is rude. Honestly, like, I try to treat everyone how I want to be treated, how I would like to be treated. So, even if it's someone that cleans, someone that works in a coffee shop to a CEO or to, you know what I mean? I want to make sure that I treat everyone the same way, you know? Always with politeness and kindness. So, if I was in a relationship with someone who... say, shooed the waiter, or...
Ooh.
No.
Or, like, clicked at them.
Oh, no. That's a deal breaker. I would literally be looking for an excuse to get out of that moment and just get out of that relationship straight away, because I can't deal with that, because that would really grind my gears, and it will take a lot for me to forget about that.
Because, like, morally, that person has put themselves on a pedestal.
Yeah, so...
And if they look down on other people...
No, I can't deal with that, man. So, yeah, that would be probably up there. Someone that is a bit selfish and rude, forget it.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Respect is very big for you, isn't it?
Very big. Especially from the culture and religion I'm from. Respect is a major thing.
Yeah.
All right, let me give you one.
All right.
Oh, okay. What do you value most... about our relationship?
Ooh.
This is like therapy couch.
Yeah, it is like therapy couch. That's a really, really difficult question. There's so many things I value.
All right, let's three things.
Three things I value.
It's not just once, because it'll be quite hard for you, because obviously
okay. We're
amazing. I'm amazing, sorry.
I would say the first... thing that I value the most about our relationship is how open we are
yeah. With
each other. There's no judgment, regardless of what each other has done. Even if we know that we wouldn't agree with it, we never judge each other.
Mm.
We would listen openly and then help them solve it if they were needed.
I like that.
So I feel like that is definitely, I think to be able to know you have somebody who loves you, you know, unconditionally,
yeah. And
will not judge you based on something that you have done, and also will hold you accountable and tell you if you've done something to be a bit rude.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. Do you know what I mean? Someone to be like, you weren't very nice to that person earlier. I don't like that. You need to switch that up. So yeah, I would say that, openness.
By the way, that's got nothing related to snapping at the waiter or anything. I've never done anything like that.
Me neither. Just to be clear.
Just to be clear.
Okay, the next one I would say is the trust that we've built. I feel like there's like a real sense of trust between us
both.
And that is hugely due to the fact that we both respect each other a lot. So, you know, if we were ever in a social situation, I would always trust that you would be checking in on me and making sure that I'm okay. And I would do the same for you. So wherever it is that we go, it never feels that one of us is going to be kind of like left by the wayside or left out or, you know... I always know that you've got my back.
Yeah, well, like,
do you know what I mean?
Like, for example, we went to a engagement party, and even though we was mingling on either side of the room, we would always look at each other, you okay? And
yeah. You'd
be like, I'm okay. And do you know what I mean? It's that kind of connection. It's very, very nice to have, knowing that we're always looking out for each other.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Cute. Yeah, it's good. I agree with that. One more.
And I would say the last one is love of family. And like,
massive, yeah.
Yeah. Because that was one of the things that drew me to you. So the fact that you love your family so much and you'll do anything to support them, and in turn also love my family and will do anything to support my family as well, that I value to the end of the earth. And like, knowing that you have those values, it makes me feel so calm knowing that when we do hopefully have children in the future, that
inshallah,
you will then be just like that with our future children as
God
well.
God willing, inshallah, I will be. Yeah.
So I'd say those are my key things. That was a bit soppy, sorry guys.
No. I was going to shake your hand, but I'll give you a
gentle high five because you don't want to shock anybody that's listening on audio.
They were very, very good answers. I'll take that. All right, your turn, I think.
Okay, mine's like really not related to that kind of stuff.
No.
This is a curveball. It's completely off topic.
It could be anything, so it's fine.
Okay. It's like a would you rather.
Oh,
but
okay.
Nothing dirty or creepy. Would you rather have a job that you love that pays you peanuts?
Oh.
Or a job that you hate where you have a very good salary?
This one's a tricky one.
It is. It's a real conundrum.
In this day and age, you need finances, don't you? You need money to survive. But
if you're living a terrible life, the money's going to hold no value.
Yeah, no. But it depends. Oh, it's tricky because obviously, in an ideal world, I won't have any outgoings. I won't have anything, you know, kind of any responsibilities. And I'll just do a job that I love, pay, not, you know, I mean, maybe that's for the future.
Yeah. Okay.
For now, I'm not going to lie. I need the money, man. I need the money. I'll take the second option. I'm being realistic right now.
You're telling me.
Give me the money. Give me the money, man. Give me the money.
You're telling me that you'd rather be in a 9-to-5 that you hated every moment of the day you wish you weren't there, but you're on a better salary. That would be your choice. Like, fair play if it is, I'm just checking.
I'm saying right now,
you need the money. I need give that me money, that dollar.
Give me the money. Yeah, in the future, God willing, I'm in a position where I could do something and I wouldn't care about the money and I'll just do something that I love. But right now, realistically, it's all about the money right now, man. I need to get that money to set myself up so I can get that job that I don't.
Got you. I see. There's a thought behind this. Okay,
come
fine.
Come on, man.
All right, then.
All right, cool. My turn, yeah? What does it take for someone to be considered as your best friend?
Ooh.
That's a deep question, though.
To be my friend, my best friend. I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about this on our podcast, didn't we, when we did a podcast all about friendships. If you guys want to go and watch that.
Yeah, I should have changed the question
up. We haven't spoken about that specific question.
Okay, fair enough.
If you want to find out a little bit about friendships and our view on them and that kind of stuff, then go check that out. But for me, I have always have such a close-knit group of friends.
Mm.
I don't really venture out. I have lots of like friends on the periphery, like lots of friends I really enjoy being with and spending time with. But for me to consider them a best friend, it takes a really long time.
I know exactly where you come from because that's the one thing I used to always think to myself. How do you differentiate acquaintances to friends and to best friends? Because it's really hard to separate.
So hard.
And sometimes it doesn't really matter about how long you've known them. Someone that you've known for many years. So someone that you've just met might want the best for you or would want more for you than someone that you've known for many years.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's very, very true.
I hope I've said that right. But yeah, you know what I mean.
I totally get what you mean. So I would say in order to be, for me to consider them the best friend, I would have to have a friend where we had very, very similar moral,
Yeah.
We enjoy spending time with each other. And it's that kind of friendship where you can sit in silence together.
If you can't
sit in silence with your friend, are they really a friend? Do you know what I mean?
Funny thing is, I was listening to the radio, I think, and someone mentioned, is it radio or a podcast? It could be a podcast. And someone mentioned, remember back in the day, you would just go to a friend's house and just chill?
Mm-hmm.
Even if that means you're just chilling and having the TV on in the background and you're just on your phone and just talking and just talking nonsense. Now, you have to go to somewhere where there is...
like an event or something happening.
An event or something planned that you're doing because you don't want to waste time. I really miss those days where you can literally just go and just be comfortable in each other's silence and just, you know, just go into your friend's fridge and just like, oh, I'm just gonna have this, and just sit down and just have that.
I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like that anymore.
No.
You don't just chill.
I do think if you can have that kind of friendship, mm-hmm. then that's when they're your best friend. Yeah. Where you can be around them, you want the best for each other, you'll hold them accountable, you're a good person.
Very good, yeah.
Then that's the best friend for me.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Thanks.
Oh, it's your turn, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on, man.
Well, it's my last question. You ready for this?
Yeah, go on. Is it a good one?
It's actually quite a deep one.
All right, go on then.
These have no relation to each other, actually.
Yeah, but it's good that it's three
different... I've just picked questions that I just genuinely want to know the answer to.
All right, that's fine.
They're not necessarily related, but I do genuinely want to know the answer to them. Have you ever considered going to therapy?
Have I ever considered going to therapy? To be honest with you, there's always been a stigma regarding therapy, like weak, and you know, especially when it comes to men, you know, going seeking therapy.
So you're saying that men are perceived as weak
if you go specifically in a South Asian household.
Okay.
In a South Asian household, you're always seeing, you know, the men have to look strong, stable. It doesn't matter what's going on. You have to kind of take it on the chin mm-hmm. and just move forward and, you know, never, ever show weakness. And sadly, growing up, I've never really... I know loads of family members were going through tough times, but they never really spoke about it. Especially, obviously, I was young, so I probably never heard about it, but I never knew of anyone going to therapy. No one was really open about it. So growing up,
it was a bit of like a taboo thing.
It was very much a taboo thing. So growing up, I'd say up until my late 20s, I never ever considered therapy. However, now obviously going through some really tough times in my life, especially when I had some really bad losses in my family, yeah, like it always crossed my mind. Like when you're really in a deep, dark place and you have no one to talk to, I would honestly encourage men, women, everyone to go seek therapy just to have someone to talk to. If you don't have anyone around you to kind of, you know, share that.
But I think also, even if you have somebody around you, it's still nice to have that, but having that professional who can really help, you know, change your thought patterns or pick up on certain things where they can support you, but also look at it from a non-biased point of view.
That's a good one, non-biased.
That's
one,
so important, because then they can literally give you a true answer rather than one that's skewed by somebody else's maybe vision of a situation or maybe their own wants or whatever it might be that might be impacted. So have you ever been to therapy?
I haven't. However, I would if I need to now.
Okay.
I am very open to going to therapy, but thank God, I feel like my mental health recently has been a lot better. But before the improvement of my mental health, it was definitely a consideration. I was definitely considering, I was even looking at places, but then just, I think, circumstances, I just didn't reach out and I didn't actually go or book that appointment.
Can I ask you a question? Another one. This isn't this one. This is the fourth one. So you felt like you needed it at that particular time. Can I ask why, what was stopping you from actually going? Like truthfully,
I'll be honest with you.
What was stopping you from actually going?
At that time, it's that one thought in your head that, oh, it'll get better.
Yeah.
It'll get better. It'll be fine. Oh, it's temporary.
Or it's not that bad, maybe.
Oh, it's not that bad. And I said that to myself for a while. And at that time, when I was looking, there wasn't many resources that I felt comfortable to reach out to, because I felt like, how can this person relate to my struggles?
Mm.
How can this person, this individual, you know, understand where I'm coming from, especially with my background? And you know what I mean? So I didn't really have someone like that. And I don't trust very easily, you know, it takes me a while. So I need to know someone or feel comfortable in someone before I open up to them.
Mm.
And it takes a lot for me to do that. So I think that kind of held me back, because I didn't really know who I can trust, who I can go to. And so eventually, I feel much better. I feel like I'm in a much better place. So that those thoughts kind of went out the way, and I stopped searching. But again, now knowing what I know now, and after doing all the research, and if I ever fell in that dark hole again, I definitely would reach out. So yeah, I encourage it as well, because I know loads of friends and I know loads of people that have reached out, and honestly, what they have said to me about how it's changed their mindset and how it's changed their outlook on life, and yeah, and they're in a much better place now. So yeah, I would 100% go
back to when you were in that dark place, which was quite a long period of time, because it's quite a significant loss for you and your family. Had you have access that support now, looking back, do you think that that would have supported you to kind of feel in a better place sooner?
Probably. Yeah. No, definitely. Because again, another thing, because I'm the eldest in the family, I'm the eldest boy as well. So there's a lot of pressure on me to kind of, at that time, is the way everyone handles loss and grief is different, vastly different to the other person. For me, it was all about, okay, this has happened now, we can't change it. What's the next move? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to make sure that my family, my friends, or whoever is around me aren't impacted by this as well?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be a burden, and I don't want to come across a burden. I don't want to throw my problems at someone else and then put them down. So for me, it was just about trying to get over the situation. The only way I thought I could get over it is by looking into what I can do to make sure everyone else was okay.
Mm.
So I put my feelings...
It's a bit of deflection almost, isn't
it? Yeah, I put my feelings to the background, and I was like, okay, cool. I need to know what I need to do to make sure my mum's okay.
Can I say something of I course. Remember? And
yeah.
We'll only put this bit in if you feel comfortable.
Of course.
I remember when you were going through this situation, you told me, when I knew you were actively grieving, you said to me, I'm fine, I'm not grieving.
Oh, yeah.
And it was that whole stage of like almost like not being able to accept the fact that you were grieving. Mm. And this makes, like, this conversation actually makes me feel emotional hearing you talk about it from that perspective. It's like, again, you of course you were grieving. Like, I knew you were grieving.
Yeah.
You knew you were grieving. But it's almost like you had to pretend that you weren't in order to feel like you could help other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And support them rather than think about your own grief, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. Again, like I said, it was one of those ones where I've never really experienced it before. And the only way I thought is, again, that toxic masculinity came in. It's like, oh, you're the eldest, you're the man. You need to kind of don't show any weakness. Just make sure, because in my head, it's like you have to be strong for your younger brothers, your younger sister, your cousins. Just brush it off and just move forward. And that's exactly what I did. But that was a really dark period, and I was definitely considering it. But after a certain time, being with family, being around good people, you specifically, my friends, and yeah, having the good support network definitely helped. If I didn't, I definitely would have probably booked a session in with a therapist straight away.
Yeah. And I think if we were ever to get in that situation again, it's like a learning, isn't it? Like, maybe we would access that.
Oh yeah, 100%. No, definitely. Yeah. But yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay, moving on from that. Let's go into something a little bit lighter, still quite deep.
Okay.
Do you believe in love at first sight or existence of soulmates? Sorry, I couldn't read my own handwriting there. It's really bad.
Okay. Oh. That is a really deep question.
I have my own opinion on this, but
okay,
I want to
so
find
you tell
out.
Me after.
Yeah, I'll tell you after.
So I
reckon it's going to be quite similar to yours, but anyway.
Okay, so I'm actually curious, because I don't know what your opinion is on this. Okay. I feel like we spoke about it a very, very long time ago, but I don't know if it's changed since then, because I think mine has.
All right, go on.
Okay. So I would say love at first sight, I don't necessarily think exists, but I do think that you can look at someone and be like, you can get a good picture of someone very, very quickly. So if you kind of see their energies and the way they are, the way they speak, their actions, how they react to people. from that, I feel like you could probably feel like you love them.
Yeah, you can feel
that really intense desire to like get to know them and want to be with them. So I do think that that does exist in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like that deep, I love you no matter what kind of love. More than like, I can see that you're a really good person. I can see that we're going to connect. And then soulmates.
This is the one I wanted to find out about. Yeah. Soulmate.
Soulmates is a tricky one because I do actually believe you are my soulmate. That in itself, I think, shows that I do believe in it. However, I don't necessarily think soulmates are like the traditional, like, there's one person and one person, you have to be together.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. What I do believe is that you can develop into soulmates. So, like, for example, if you meet somebody and you connect deeply, you can develop that feeling of, like, soulmates and wanting to be together and, like, having that deep, deep, deep connection through going through experiences, through getting to know each other, through getting, like, understanding each other, having the same morals. So I almost feel like soulmates are kind of built rather than everybody just has one person that they're meant to be with.
Okay. My take on it.
Go on.
I do agree with you, especially with the soulmate one. I don't think there is one specific soulmate for everyone.
No.
Come on, there's like 7 billion. Is it 7 billion, it's obviously growing. But 7 billion people in the world, there can't be just one person that you're connected to. Again, that connection can be built and you could feel like you're soulmates. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like that because if you're everything aligns, it's very easy to say you're soulmates because you're mentally you're kind of on the same wavelength. I definitely do think that. But I don't think there is like anyone specifically chosen for you. I don't know.
Mm. So you agree with me then, basically?
Yeah, basically I agree with you. Love at first sight, I don't think there is. I think initial attraction, of course, that's going to make you feel like, oh, I could love this person.
Yeah.
But I don't. Obviously, there are cases where two people might have met each other for the first time and knew, which is beautiful. And if you are lucky enough to have that type of relationship and have that encounter.
Yeah.
Fair enough, you know, but I don't believe love at first sight. I think there's so much more to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can first, what would you call it? Not love, is it lust?
Yeah.
Like you look at someone and you're like, oh yeah, they look beautiful. Like, oh, they look stunning. And, oh, I could see myself with them. That's fine. But love is so much deeper
like
than
attraction
just...
attraction at first sight, maybe.
Attraction, of course. But I think love is way more deeper than what you see in someone.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's because of the way we place love. Like, love is like this, for us, or for me, I'm speaking about half of it. Love for me is like this really deep, like, I love you no matter what, and I will always respect you and care for you and make sure you're okay. You know, it's that kind of like, in your darkest times, I'm still going to love you.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to be there for you. That, for me, is love. Not like someone gives me flowers and it makes me happy and somebody buys me this and it makes me happy. Or like, that's not love, in my opinion.
Definitely. No, I agree. But it wasn't love at first sight for me and Alex.
No.
We spoke about this as well.
Maybe this one was biased.
That's why we're so biased.
Love at first sight doesn't exist because it didn't happen for us.
I really liked how Alex looked, how she was as a person. Yes, but we didn't...
I never thought it would get to this. Never in a million years thought that the man that I met in Waterloo Station and went for tapas with on a summer's day...
would be the person...
would be the person I'm sat here now talking about relationships, married to, doing a podcast.
And have two cats with as well.
Yeah, two cats.
But yeah, no,
two babies.
That's... Yeah, it was definitely not love at first sight. No. But again, it grew.
We liked each other. Like, I definitely found you attractive.
To carry on messaging each other and still getting to know each other after that interaction, I was shocked. Because I'm not going to lie, I was biting the ear off. I was talking till the cows come home. Yeah, I was talking forever. But, you know, we still carried on talking and now, you know, it grew and yeah, we're here.
We're here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our biased opinion on
definitely. Yeah, very
whether
biased.
Or not love at first sight exists, but we would love to hear your opinions. If you have any opinions on any of the questions we've said, or you have a question that you would like us to include in our next podcast, maybe we could do a little segment at the end or something. Put it down below, send us an email, send us a DM. We would love to hear from you. Make sure you follow us on our socials, CULRCODED, that's colour coded. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, like, do all of the things to help us grow. We will be eternally grateful. Until then, love you, bye.